Yetibata, or basis for success. The Buddha's explanation of how right effort gives rise to right concentration, the kind of concentration that then gives rise to special knowledge, including the knowledge of awakening. So there are important qualities to know. They're related to right effort in the sense that if you look at the formula for right effort, you see that three of the Yetibata are right there, generating desire, arousing persistence, upholding intent. Those are the first three of the Yetibata: desire, persistence, intent. And then you apply those qualities to abandoning unskillful qualities and developing skillful ones. The ability to know what's skillful and unskillful. And the ability to figure out how to abandon things that are unskillful and develop things that are skillful. That's the fourth Yetibata, which sometimes translated as discrimination, sometimes as ingenuity, sometimes as circumspection. It's the discernment factor there. These qualities are related to his concentration specifically, but actually they apply to the whole path. Everything from generosity through virtue, through meditation, everything from right view all the way through right concentration requires that you have some desire. As the Buddha said, all things are rooted in desire. That includes skillful and unskillful things. It includes the path. The only thing that's not rooted in desire is Nibbana. That's the ending of all things. So desire of the four Nibbana is the most primary. The remaining Nibbana basically express it and fine-tune it. If you have desire but you don't have any effort, any persistence, then it's not a sincere desire. You have to want to act on it. You want to have to have focus. That's what the intent is all about. It is the focus. Paying full attention to what you're doing, full attention to the results you're getting. So you can judge them properly. That's the fine-tuning in the fourth Yetibata. Because raw desire on its own is not going to, it's not going to cut it. To make it part of the path, you have to have a sense of how it's applied and how it's best applied. But the important thing is that you really do sincerely want to gain awakening. All too often we're told, if you have desire in the path, it's a bad thing. After all, desire is the cause of suffering. Well, there's going to be some stress in the path. But the Buddha never said that all desire is bad. After all, there's desire there in the description of a right effort. Just a question of learning how to express it and fine-tune it in the right way. Sometimes you hear that the desire to be good is the enemy of the good, or the desire to be better is the enemy of the good. That does apply in some cases. But one of the biggest enemies of the desire to do well is the desire to be already good. Notice the distinction there. Doing well is different from being good. And the already is one of the main problems. Remember, the Buddha said that the secret to his awakening was discontent with unskillful qualities. In other words, as long as the qualities in his mind were not taking him all the way, he didn't want to rest content. He wanted to keep on doing better. He was happy to find out where he was not doing well so he could learn how to erase that mistake. That the desire to be already good gets in the way there. You want to tell yourself, I'm already fine, I don't need to learn anything more. And that closes off the path. And then when you do see that you made a mistake, either you don't admit it or you feel very embarrassed. And the embarrassment gets in the way. Now there is a healthy sense of shame. But if your desire is strong enough that you really do want to get the results, you really do want to do well, you should be happy to see, oh, this is an area where I can still do better. And that takes some of the sting out of the embarrassment. So as in the Buddha's instructions to Rahula, you start out, you try to act on what you think are skillful intentions. That's an important part of learning. If you act on unskillful intentions or intentions you know are unskillful, then the results come out bad, You haven't really learned all that much. You already knew you shouldn't have done that. So when you look at your intentions as to why you want to do something, you finally come to an intention that seems skillful. Okay, act on that. And then tell yourself, well, this is something I'm going to learn from. Either it actually is skillful, as you act on it, see the results, or you learn that it's not skillful, you've learned something important, something you didn't know. This is part of the desire to do well. The desire to be already good, but then get in the way of your actually seeing the results or admitting the results to you when they're not as skillful as you hoped. If you really want to be skillful, you say, oh, I thought this was going to be skillful, but while I'm doing it, I can see there's harm is being done. I've got to stop. Or maybe you didn't see the harm while you're doing it, but it comes out later. I've learned. Then you go talk it over with someone else. See what more you can learn. So although you are supposed to have a sense of healthy shame around the mistakes you make, in other words, you realize that those who mean you well and are wise would be disappointed. Still, they wouldn't be disappointed if you saw the mistake and were willing to learn from it. So you wouldn't have a healthy sense of shame, but you don't want your embarrassment to get in the way of talking it over with somebody else. So the enemy of doing well is the desire to be already good. That's a basis for unsuccess. It's a basis for failure. When you have the desire to do well, and then you act on it, that's the persistence, and you intend on observing the results, observing the actions, observing the results. And when things don't come out well, then you use your ingenuity to try to figure out what would be good. And you're not embarrassed to go seek the help of others. After all, we're here working on skills together, working on skills that other people have mastered in the past, which means we can gain advice from them, and they're usually happy to give it. Especially if we're honest in our desire to do well. This all comes down to that basic principle the Buddha said, nourishes the Dharma, which is commitment, and then reflection. The commitment in the desire, and in the persistence, and in the intent. And then the reflection, again, with intent, and your powers of analysis, your circumspection, your ingenuity. This is how you make yourself worthy of the Dharma, as you nurture the Dharma within you. So you keep the focus on doing well, doing as best you can. And when it's not good enough, well, you learn that you can do better. That's fine. If you want to be already good, you're going to be disappointed, or else you're going to go into denial, neither of which is going to be helpful on the path. To keep that desire focused, the desire to do well, to get results, to keep on learning. That kind of desire will see you through.